Riveting. Love.
Shy.
Dog.
Fly.
Well, hello. You beautiful fly people out there. This is your girl, Shay Dawn, and welcome to season two, the first episode of season two of Fly Conversations with, again, your girl, Shay Dawn. I am so excited that we are back for season two. Excited to have you all tune back in. Listen, I am ready to talk some real, raw, relevant stuff, man. It's been stuff that's been going on that I really want to touch and tackle, and I've been having conversations, but I really, really been wanting to get with y'all and talk about this stuff, and I don't know, it's just been some stuff. But summer break, yeah, I had to take a summer break. With my son being out of school and work and trying to do summer vacations and things of that nature, baby, summer was just a little bit too crazy. So I decided that would be my time to take a break, and then we could come on back full of energy, ready to rock and roll, ready to talk some talk, ready to talk some junk, ready to talk some real stuff with y'all. So I'm glad that we are back, y'all. I'm glad. I'm ready. Let's talk. So Tonight, like I said, there were a lot of topics that I've come across over the past couple of months, and they have really been plaguing me. Some of them have really been working on the very core of my spirit, and anybody knows me knows there are some things I'm really, really passionate about, and as the passion, bubbles up within me, some of it really takes me over the edge. But one of the ones that really takes me over the edge, and the more I see about it, the more continues to come. It's just like it's nonsense of the things that are happening. And one of them is what's going on with our children. I mean, take a look around. If we pay an attention, we see there's always something. I mean, it's been like this for some years, but just lately, it's so awful, and it's just so... It's heartbreaking to see what's going on with our children, what's happening with our children. And it's coming from a standpoint of who is raising these children? Where are the parents? What are the parents doing? And it's really, honest to God, it's like some of the saddest things that I've seen. So one of the things that I came across that happened a couple months ago, and I want to believe that it was in Arkansas. I could be wrong, but I know it was out in the Midwest. There was a story I read, a news story about the mother that took her two daughters to a hair store where another young lady worked to fight the young lady at the hair store over a boy. Okay, I'm going to repeat that just in case anybody get that. A mother took her two daughters to go fight another young lady at her job over a boy. Now, some people probably say, well, yeah, I'm that mama. I'm that chick. I do that. I go all out for my girls. Not one, not over a boy. That's just like the dumbest thing in the world, because you should be teaching them that there's more than one boy in this world. It's more than this world. There is no reason to ever fight any female behind any male. I don't see that being something that I could ever teach a daughter. If I had one, I would be able to listen. We don't fight over men. So that's number one. But here is the bigger part of that whole story. So they go into the hair store where the young lady works. They fought the young lady, and the young lady a gun and begins to shoot. One of the daughters died on the scene. The other died, I believe, in either the ambulance or at the hospital. Either way, both daughters are gone. And guess what that mama did? She fled the scene. Now, I don't know about y'all, but something about this to me is just, like I said, it works the very core of my spirit, the very fiber of my being, the very nature of who I am. What kind of, first of all, individual will send their child out to go fighting about a boy? Let's start there. But not only that, you sent them out here, fight, you drove them to the place, and then left them to die. You left your daughters, your flesh and blood, your babies to die. I just really don't even understand. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. How in the world could you possibly call yourself a mother? How could you call yourself a decent human being? Forget mother. How can you consider yourself to be a decent human being knowing you drove them to their death is what you've done to them? You've drove them to this. So that tells me I'm sure back and throughout their lives, mama was always there to take us to go fight. Mama gave us a culture that fighting is the way to always handle things. Mama taught us that it was okay to go out here and fight over boys or run up on the girls at their job and do whatever. We bout that life. That's what mama told you, but what mama didn't prepare for was that teaching them this with their life, would take their life from them, and she would be the one to drive them to their death. These are the things that work on me. These are things that, honest to God, they break my heart for real, because who is raising these children? What kind of person would do that? What kind of individual takes their children to go fight someone? And you never, and here's the thing, it's 2019, everybody has a gun. Everybody, if they don't, and I don't mean everybody literally, but I mean it's so accessible and easily accessible for people to get a gun. It's not a problem for people to have weapons. So you never know who you're going to run up on and what they have. But yet, mom, you took them up in there. Oh, yeah, we're going to go get this brawl because she whatever the boy is, and she messing with your man. Okay, mama, come on. Come on. So we're doing that, and we think it's okay to do that. We've got women out here that think it's fine to sit up and go to the club with their daughters and take their daughters out with them to go and sit up and talk about men and boys. I'm sorry, my mother never did that. And maybe some people say, well, your mom old-fashioned. Maybe. But one thing we were not going to do, we were not going to sit up and have conversation about boys and this other stuff, because that's not who she was. She was my mama. She was not my friend. She didn't become my friend until I got grown. And even then, she's still my mama first and friend last. So it's even still some stuff that I'm not going to even have a conversation with her about. But one thing for certain, two things for sure, we were not going to sit up and talk boys. We were not going to sit up and talk fighting a female over boys. We were not going to sit up and scroll through Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and all of this other stuff that really does not have any actual foundation to whom I am today. So I appreciate my mother for the boundaries that she set between me and her, the boundaries that she set between me, between all of her children and her, because she let it be known, no, I'm not your friend. I'm your mama, and I'm here to instill in you the things you're going to need to carry you through life. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm not here to run the streets with you and to make you feel good or any. I'm not here for that. I'm here to love you, to care for you, and to raise you to be a strong woman, mother, wife, sister, cousin, whatever it is you want to be, entrepreneur, whatever it is, I'm here to raise you to be that strong woman, and that's what I'm here for. That's what my mother instilled in me. That's the way she raised me. And to see women not doing that today, it is absolutely deplorable to me. It is deplorable. Why do we think it is okay to sit up and take our children to go fight? Why? I mean, I've seen videos on Facebook of mothers taking their daughters to brawls, and the mama's the one pulling the bats out of the car. The mama's the one running up on the girls with your daughters. What is going on? Now that leads me further. Let's go further back in generations. Who raised you? Because somebody dropped the ball somewhere. Somewhere, somebody dropped ball and made everyone think and feel that it was okay to live that kind of life. Oh, because I'm about that life. Baby, listen, that is not a life. That's what we should be telling our children. That is not a life. That is not the life for anyone to want to live. But yet we're okay with it. We're fine with that. In 2019, this is the end thing. In 2019, we are just fine with letting our daughters sit up and follow Cardi B, knowing Cardi B blatantly said, oh, yeah, I used to drug men and steal their money. Daughters today, oh, we can boys and steal their money. Let me explain the difference between what she, between her and them. What's going to happen on the female side of today, these 2019 little girls, is they're going to drug the wrong boy or think they're doing it. And they have to encounter that altercation with them. Now they want to go call daddy. Now they want to go find daddy. But here's the thing. You can't call daddy now because daddy nor mama told you that's not you. That's not right. That's not the way this is supposed to go. Because at the end of the day, you could find yourself in some serious trouble. You could find yourself almost dead, beaten to death, playing with somebody like that. But because we let them listen to Cardi B, because that's cute, because they turn around and say, oh, crap, we think that's cute, fine, we'll let it ride. Now here we go, just to either today or yesterday, day before, or whatever, within this past week, oh, Cardi B said, oh, I've always been a blood. Oh, guess what? Now our girls are going to want to do that. Those that follow her think that's cute. Oh, she ganging. Gang, gang. With that. Okay, well, you roll with that. Who is raising these children? Are you mommy and daddy raising them, or y'all letting Cardi B and everything else out here in culture? This is what we're running into. This is why even in professional workplaces, young girls that think it's okay to run through and think, oh, because I'll fight this and I'll fight that, they're worse than the boys. They are absolutely worse than and the honest to God, there's nothing cute about it. There's nothing ladylike about it. It's pointless. It's useless. It's unnecessary. But yet, we think that we're leaving. We're trying to leave a world for them. I don't understand. What are we passing down to them? What's to come when these children continue to grow up and they're growing up like this? Another story I was reading today, and this one seriously put me in tears because I can't believe how heartless not only we have become, but how heartless we have taught children to become. So I was reading the story of the 16-year-old boy that got stabbed to death in New York. And what got me, one, it was behind a girl, or so it's believed to be. It was all behind of a girl. And two, that there were, one story I read said about 80, another said about 50, but either way, it was double digits, way too many people that stood around and watched this 16-year-old get stabbed to death. And nobody thought to use their phones to call for help. But everybody stood and videotaped what was happening. And then we say, okay, well, they were children. They did this. But it's the fact of the matter is not only children do this, adults do this. So they're only mimicking what is being done and what they see. We are not equipping our children with the knowledge to say, let's go out here. And if you're going to go out here and if you see something, don't stand there, record it. Call somebody. What good is recording going to do? How does that help anybody? That could a phone call sooner rather than later could have saved that boy's life. But because we're not equipping our children with understanding, with knowledge, with compassion, they all stood back and just videotaped. Now, if you want my personal opinion, everybody that videotaped and did not call the police should be an accessory. That's my opinion. And if people have a problem with that, then take that up with Jesus, because that's just my opinion. Every one of them that stood and watched should be an accessory. Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you could have helped them. You could have saved their life. But you decided that it was more entertaining to record this, to post for more likes, for more clout, for more followers, than it was to call and say, hey, I think somebody is being killed. Somebody needs to get out here. These are the things that are happening with our children. These are the types of children we're raising. And it's absolutely disgusting to know that this is what we're raising. My baby had an issue one day at school, and I had to catch myself because he had the issue when he was telling me about it. I was like, well, what happened? So he was explaining to me that it was another little boy, a little boy that was smaller than the rest of them, that was being bullied. And you know, he wanted to stop them from bullying him. And he was like, well, no, leave him alone. You know, that's not right. Let's not, you know, leave him alone. He's trying to get all the other kids to stop bullying this little boy. Now, initially, my mind, because, yeah, there is this whole thing of you get involved and you get in trouble. And although you might have been trying to help, that's not how it's going to come out. You're going to blah, blah, blah. But so initially, let me go back. So initially, yeah, my thought was, son, mind your business. If it has nothing to do with you, you don't say a word. But then I had to stop before I got that out. And I had to commend him on trying to help the smaller person, on trying to fight back the bully. Yeah, I commend him on that. You know why? Because that says he's thinking, I'm teaching him right. You're thinking of someone other than yourself. You're thinking of someone else smaller than you that needs help, that nobody is there to help this smaller person, but you're going to be that one to stand and to help them. And so I had to stop in the middle of my sentence and say, son, I'm proud of you. Son, I'm proud. That lets me know, should he see something, he's going to want to help. He's going to want to call, do what's necessary to try to get somebody help, as opposed to standing back and just watching. We have become such a heartless society that it is so, it's crazy to me how heartless we are. We don't care about anybody or anything except ourselves. But yet, we want the community to grow. We want to grow as a community. Let's even further here, because this is all wrapped in it. We have all the pro-Black. We want to stand up. The Black people stand together. Black people do this. But yet, we are divided and even standing up for each other. We're talk the good game. Oh, it sounds good when we say it. It sounds so good when we're talking about it or when we post about it, when we do live. It sounds beautiful. But at the end of the day, did you really go out there and try to help that person? And don't try to tell me you want to help them after the fact they've gotten hurt. Oh, I've gone and do this. No, you saw it was coming. Did you try to do anything before that? No. Because in the end, what only matters is what it looks like I can show everybody that I'm doing. It's the same way we record these videos of helping somebody. Anybody I've ever helped, you'll never see a video. My phone is nowhere to be found. I don't want anybody else's phone. Don't record this because I'm not helping anybody to be seen. I'm doing it because that's my nature, because that's the heart of me, because that's what's removed from society. That's what we've removed from our children. The heart. We've removed the innocence from our children before they even get old enough to understand anything else. We removed that innocence. I posted just before we got on, before I got on the show here, I posted a clip about a father talking about this is his son. That's his king. It's not his nigga, not his goon, it's not his squad. That's his son. And he talks about how he's raising him to be a man. And pretty much his words were, now, if you're raising little hood rats and whatever else you think you're raising, do what you do, but keep that away from mine. And I shared that post because that is so on time, because that's where my mind is. I'm raising a young God here. That's my intention. I'm raising a young God. I'm not trying to raise a little thug. I'm not trying to raise a little con artist. I'm not trying to raise whatever, anything else you want to call him. But I'm raising a young God, a young king. That's what I'm raising. I'm raising him to understand how what it is to be a man. I can only go so far, so I thank God for the men that are around me. But as far as what I can give him, I'm trying to give him good foundation. I'm trying to give him foundation of loving others, not just yourself, but loving others. And the law of reciprocity, how you give and it comes back. Understanding how selfishness has no place in your life. How to love yourself means to love somebody else too. To help somebody that's less fortunate than you. That's what I'm trying to teach. I have a friend of mine. they tease me sometimes. And it doesn't bother me because I know they're teasing. But as I'm thinking and talking now, I'm thinking about it. You know, we were out one day. We were actually at the movies. And we saw this young boy. And I don't know. He looked a little, you know, nerdish, I guess. And you know, he was running up on his mom and hugging her and stuff. I mean, he might have been like in his, I don't know. He's just a really tall boy. I don't really know how old he was or anything. But so my friend looks at him and he says, "That's going to be your son when he's 20. And, you know, we laugh and I look at him and be like, yeah, no, that's my baby. But as I'm thinking now, I would take that any day over looking out the door sometimes and seeing them walk around with their pants hanging off their behind, no shirt on, walking up and down the street fighting with some little young girl that they got, having four and five babies by the time they 23. I would rather him be a little dweebish and running up under me and all whatever than to be that. Because that's not helping anything. That's not helping anybody by running around here reproducing and can't take care of any one of them. That's not helping anybody by running around here being abusive. That's not helping anybody by being selfish and videotaping people that need help as opposed to helping. So, yeah, I'll take that. But these are the children we're raising. We're raising children that have no morals. And the fact of the matter is you have to step back. They have no morals because the parents have no morals. The parents have no morals. You got a mother over here that's doing her thing, and then you got a father over here that's doing his thing, and nobody's actually stopping to take the time to do the parenting thing. And then then sometimes you get some that where one may be doing and the other's not doing, and we want to play the blame game. And blame it on the fact that, well, I can't do all this, I can't do that. Well, listen, instead of you playing the blame game, just step in and do whatever needs to be done. Do whatever needs to be done. We've got young girls right now, girls I work with, 24, 25, don't know how to cook to save their life. They know nothing about cooking or preparing anything for them to eat. If they're not buying it, they don't know what to do. They're just now getting into cooking and trying to figure out how to even fix a sandwich for themselves. Totally sad. It's totally sad, but I bet you they know how to roll a blunt. I bet you they know how to go out here and hustle. They know how to do everything else except for take care of themselves in an appropriate manner, in a manner that would say, yeah, I'm proud to say that that's my child. They can't do it. There is no reason why you should be 20 anything and can't cook. I'm sorry, 10, 11 years old, my mom, I may not have been cooking, but I was in the kitchen watching. I'm at 10 o'clock, 10 years old, I might not have been able to handle the knives, but I was sure able to help stir up something, stir this, do that, move this, put this in there, pour this, measure this out in here. You got that right? Now add that. Those were direction I was given. Which is why today I can cook, take care of myself. I know how to grocery shop. I know how to wash clothes correctly. I know how to go out here and I know how to cook. Not just for me. I know how to cook for people. I know how to cook for a huge family. I know how to cook a whole Thanksgiving dinner by myself and not need help. I can do that because I was trained on that. Women are 24, 25, and when mommy and daddy's going, what's going to happen to them? We don't think past what's currently in front of us with them. We don't think beyond the fact they have to take care of themselves sometimes, but we're okay, I guess, with taking care of them for the rest of their life, making sure that they eat. We good with that. But we cripple these kids. Doing that, you cripple them. I posted also again today, set boundaries. Man, you got to set boundaries. If you have no boundaries, they don't have any worth, and neither do you. Because at the end of the day, all you're doing is creating another human being that's just totally going to be dependent on you for everything in life. And then when they realize that they can't function without y'all, without mommy and daddy or just mommy or just daddy, whoever it is, when they realize they can't function without you, they can't handle it. Teach them self-worth. Teach them how to make it on their own, how to live on their own, how to survive, how to thrive on their own. There is no other feeling better than the feeling of knowing that I accomplished something on my own, that nobody else did it for me. I did this for me. I did it for me. These are the things that we want to instill in children, not the things that we're currently instilling in children. We think it's okay for a lot of the things that they do. We think it's okay that at 14, 15 years old, they're wearing makeup. Come on, people. I'm sorry. I was not allowed to wear makeup at 14, 15, barely 16. Honest to God, I seriously really wasn't able to wear makeup until I moved out of my mom and daddy's house. And that's a whole other story there. You know, they're devout Christians and all of that. However, the fact is, at 14, 15, that's why we wear makeup. But then we have all the sex trafficking stuff going on. I don't understand how you think you're protecting your child when they're wearing all of the makeup, all the weaves that they want to wear down their back, all the lashes, all this. This is 14, 15-year-old girls. And I've seen them young as 13. Yes, I have. Doing all of that. Not only that, they have their Instagram page where they're posting and they're doing all of the poses that everybody does because they want. Why they want to be an Instagram model? Because that's what everybody wants to do now. Everybody wants to, you know, just be seen. So now, not only did we allow them to look older than they are, we've also allowed them to show the world, hey, they can look older than what they are. And so we've given predators leeway to say, oh, yeah, well, this is that. Now, what we fail to realize is that predators, of course, they hack. They are going to have to find out, okay, well, where is this located? Where is this person at? I can't remember the movie on Netflix, the series on Netflix, either way, where the guy found out where she lived just by simply getting her name, hacking into her Facebook page to see what, I mean, he threw it all, found out where she lived so he could get a relationship with her, all kinds of stuff. This is what they're out there doing. And then when your children leave to go to school or leave school to come home, they're waiting. They lie in wait to take your children. They're lying in wait to take your daughters, your sons, but predominantly your daughters, for sex trafficking. This is what we're allowing. This is what we open up to happen to our children. And yet, we want to be so, you know, some of us want the best parent in the world certificate. To be honest, my opinion, I don't think any of us probably could get it because those that are really good parents, I'll say it that way, those are good parents, probably feel that they do more. But then those that they've got some really think they're the top-notch parents, I could probably tell you five or six things that make you, that I'm not going to say make you not a good parent, but makes you less aware of what you really should be focused on with your children. Makes you less aware. I'm so much happening that we're not paying attention to. We're not equipping our children to get out here and to be individuals that can manage life on their own. We're okay with our children videotaping another children being killed. We're okay taking our children to go fight somebody. And then we keep throwing around this stuff that, oh, I'm a good parent, a good parent, a good parent. Oh, they were good. Let me explain something to you. There are good parents, and let's just call a spade, there are bad parents. There are some people that probably really should not have had any children and have any impact on another child, on an individual that has to grow his life ever. Let's just be real about that. One thing y'all gonna learn about me if you're new here, I don't sugarcoat anything. There's no point in me sugarcoating it because I don't like things. Me, so I sugarcoat. But parent, just because they stayed there in the house and just because they were there with you, and they, that doesn't make them a good parent. That does not make them a good parent. I know good parents. Good parents are one of the one of my work sisters. One of my sisters. She has a 16-year-old, and she's raised a 16-year-old. The 16-year-old does know her father. However, here's the thing. The father has really not been active in her life. And one thing about this mother, my work sister, she's a good mother, very good mother. She's there with her daughter. She rides with that, whatever she needs, she's there. When she, I remember we've had to calm her down quite a few times because she's crying because her daughter wants to change schools, and I want her to go to that school, but she wants to do this school because whatever her reasons are. We've had to tell her, listen, you've raised her to be this bright young lady. She's got a good head on her shoulders. You got to trust her on this one. This is what she wants to go with it. She's okay with it now, but she's a very, very good mother, very involved, that's her world, her daughter, that's her life. And it was actually Father's Day passed, and she said to her daughter, hey, did you call your dad and wish him a happy Father's Day? And the daughter said to her, well, I called my godfather, and I told your fiancé happy Father's Day. She said, no. I asked you, did you call your father and wish him a happy Father's Day? And her daughter told her, I don't want to do that, Mom. Leave me alone. I'm not called for what? And she said again, no. You need to call your father and wish him a happy Father's Day. So she, needless to say, she didn't call him. She just sent him a text. And she only did it because her mother told her to do it. I mean, at 16, she knows the difference between somebody that's involved in her life and somebody that cares about what's going on with her and somebody that does it. And so she understands that man don't care about me. Why do I care? But because her mother told her to, she went on to text him. Now, when she was telling me about this, that's just being me, I got a little irritated and annoyed. And I'm like, well, why would you tell her to do something she doesn't want to do? She's not, she's very aware of what's going on. She knows that this man is the reason she's here, but he's not a father to her. She recognized that, and it has nothing to do with you. But her reply to me was because at the end of the day, she's still going to respect him as her father. Whether he's there or not, as long as she's with, she's still in my room, I'm going to make sure she respects him as her father, although he may not deserve it. Now, that to me, that's the good mother. But a good mother says, a good father says, regardless to what the other parent's doing, regardless even how I feel about the other parent, I will not allow you to be disrespectful of them. I will not allow you to not give them recognition of who they are. And she was very adamant about that. And when she said that to me, I said, but much respect to you. Because, like I said, in my mind, I'm not going to make her do anything she don't want to do. This is how I think about it. She want to do that, I'm not going to make her do that because she knows she's not crazy. But I get it. Whether you know or not, that's still your father. We always live by respect around here. And that I was able to honestly understand that. And I said, okay, you know what? I got you. I'm with you on that. You're absolutely right. You respect, regardless to what's happening. You teach her that is still your father and you're going to respect it. When you get grown, however you want to handle that, that's on you. But as long as you're here and you're still a child and I'm raising you, you're going to respect them. You're going to respect him. And what that instills in her is to respect, even though this man does not act it, does not show it, is not any part of your life that he's a father. There's no inclination anywhere that this is her father. She still made sure that you're going to respect him as such. My other work sister has a son that, now she was married to his son, but had to divorce him or get away from him. The man was beating on her, practically almost killed her. One thing for certain, though, she never let her son know that that's what happened. She always pushed, that's your father, that's your father, that's your father. Now, when the son got older and the father actually decided that he wanted to be in his life, because he was on his deathbed at this point, now he wants to tell him some stuff about his mom. Oh, your mama wouldn't let me see you. So now, of course, he's back. He's bad mouthing the mama on his deathbed. Don't understand why. So now mama has to pull out all of the police reports. Bam, this is what actually happened, son. And I never told you any of that because you didn't need to know that. I didn't ever want you to know that this is what your father did to me, because that's not who I wanted you to know him as. I wanted you to form your own relationship. See, those are good parents. That's good parents right there. Regardless to what, me and him will never get along. Me and him will never be in the same room. I'm not going to fool up with him ever in life again, but I want you to form your own. And I don't want you to form it based off of what I showed you or told you about how he used to beat me. See, I have proof of what he did to me. You have proof of when, you know, what it is. Those are good parents. So just being in a household with them does not make anyone, by any means of anybody's definition, a good parent. That makes no one a good parent. But a good parent is somebody that instills respect, that instills understanding, that instills love beyond all, that instills those things in them and make sure that they give that out to everyone they meet. I can't teach my son to be disrespectful towards anybody and then expect that disrespect is not going to come back to me. To teach any form of disrespect to one is to teach disrespect to everyone. So they have no respect for anyone because you've taught them to disrespect in just one person. So these are the things that we're raising our children with. These are the things that concern me with this next generation. What's wrong with these parents today? What's going on that we can't seem to understand and seem to pay attention, that the fault is not the children, the fault is raising them? And I concern myself to know that my baby is 10, will be 11 in November, and by the time he's old enough, what is going to be there for him? First of all, we already know it won't be any females that can cook, because here's the thing, the generation of females, raising the females that are his age, or even the ones that would have females that he would have, that he would want to deal with around when he gets old enough, they don't know how to cook. So they don't know what to do. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to take care of themselves. All they know how to do is spend somebody's money. And one thing for certain, two things for sure, that won't be my baby. My baby's way, that's not how your mama raising you, son. That's not how we raising you. Because see, what we not going to do, for real, is we not going to sit up and have anybody live up off my child. That's not what I'm doing, because that's how they're raising these girls today, and that's not what my baby is going to be about. See, my baby's 10 years old, and yeah, he'll come in the kitchen and say, hey, mommy, can I help cook? Here, okay, here, you can stir this. No, stir it slowly. It might be little tiny things he can do now, but I'm teaching him now so he knows. Good. Because once he leaves from with me, he's not going to just jump right into anything with anybody, move right in with somebody. No, you're going to have to learn how to take care of yourself. Better yet, before you leave me, by the time you're 16, 17 years old, you need to know how to go in there and cook your own breakfast. Make your own dinner sometimes. Make me dinner. This is the kind of man that I'm raising. This is the kind of man that the young man that I'm raising, that as he's 16, 17 years old, I get off from work, he should already have had dinner cooked and fed and ready for bed. And a plate in the microwave or somewhere for me. That's what I'm raising. I don't want this child to be so dependent on every move I make that he's no longer, that he can't function or no longer able to do anything for himself. That's not what this is about. And we think when we raise children in that manner, we think that we're actually helping them when we're crippling them. We are crippling these children. We're sending them out into the world unequipped. Unequipped with no understanding of love, compassion, or just anything, fellow human being. We're sending them out here not ready for the world. And be honest, that it's not for them. We send them out there with no chance, period. They have no chance of survival on their own. And then what happens? And then we run into the things that we're running into now. We got to do better by our children. It's so sad. It really is. It's so sad. And that 16-year-old stabbed to death with all of them just standing there watching. God, that, I think, hurt me more than anything else. And they sit and watch. We're such a heartless generation. Such a heartless world. Forget just generation. Such a heartless world. Nobody cares about anybody else. It's crazy. It's crazy. And this is just one of the things, like I said, that just, it just bothers me. It just, it really does. And anybody with children, they should bother you. It should bother you to know that your child is growing up in this world. This is the world that your child lives in. These are things that await your child. And somebody even commented on the story about the 16-year-old boy being stabbed. Oh, we've got to prepare our kids and make sure that they're strapped and ready to go. Are we seriously saying this? I'm not saying I disagree with it, but the fact that we even have to have a conversation is sad to me. I don't want to have my child at 16 strapped and ready to go. Yeah, I need him to know how to protect himself and how to defend himself. But to think that I have to protect him from the possibility of being jumped and stabbed, like, that's crazy to me. It almost makes me just want to homeschool him and say, no, don't even worry about going out the house. But I know that's not living either. But this is the world we're in. And, I mean, the real question is, when are we going to take responsibility as parents? And when are we going to hold parents accountable? When? Because I guarantee you, if we put a little more pressure on some of these parents behind what these children are doing, they'll get a better grip on what their children are doing and take better and be more involved in their lives. This boy that stabbed this 16-year-old, yeah, what kind of parents did not know that this child was walking around with a knife with intentions of stabbing somebody about a girl? Oh, well, they need to be arrested too. Let's throw some cuffs on them too. Let's throw some on them too. Oh, yeah, mama that took them girls to go. Oh, yeah, now her, I can guarantee, yeah, she's going to be prosecuted. Absolutely, and she deserves every bit of it. And I don't want to hear what she's suffering. Her daughter's gone. Well, she did all of it. All of it, she did it. Every bit of it is on her. So, she needs to suffer with knowing that her daughters are no longer with her, and she needs to serve time for their deaths. That's just my opinion. You don't set children up to die. Whether I didn't know they were going to die, it doesn't matter. Why would you set them in any position that is not a safe position for them, that is not a peaceful position? If it's not peace and safe, my baby, don't worry about it. I'm not bringing my baby. I don't even trust the environment. He won't be there. Why? Because it's peaceful thing over here with me, even for my baby. I need him to understand, growing up, that you protect your peace at every cost. You don't allow anybody to interfere with you having peace of mind and having peace in your heart and your spirit. Nobody in no situation do you allow that to be the case. So let alone taking my baby to go fight somebody, that's not going to happen. Mm-mm, that's not going to happen. Yes, do I tell him and want him to defend himself? Absolutely. But I'm not taking you up the street to go fight nobody. That we ain't doing. We're not doing that. But, man, we got to do better behind these kids and raising them and protecting them and being parents that we should be for them. We've got to do so much better for them because they deserve better. If children are our future and this is the what are we going to do with them when they can't do anything? They can't cook. They can't clean. They can't wash. They can't do nothing. They can't read. They can't write. The only thing they know how to do is take pictures and be all over social media. That's all they know how to do. But let me just tell you, not mine. But that's just my time for tonight, y'all. I just wanted to jump back in. This is back from summer break. And, you know, I got, like I said, it's a lot of topics I'm going to touch on. We're going to be moving around, have some guests on here, have some, you know, some of my commentators on here, some of our people that I had last season coming on back, and they're going to be on here. We're going to talk some good stuff. We're going to talk that talk, yes? We will be talking that talk. Relationships, personal care, self-love, fitness, food, everything. Hot topics in the news, everything. Because if anybody thinks that I don't want to talk about what's some of this other stuff that's happening with these celebrities and all stuff, yes, I'm going to talk about it too. Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of that just don't quite sit right, and we're going to talk about it, because, oh boy, out here just telling everybody business, baby, I don't know what's going on, but we're going to talk about that too, just a little touch of that. We're going to, listen, if you're new to Fly Conversations with Shadon, we talk about any and everything. There's nothing off limits. Nothing is off limits. So if you haven't, go back over to last season and listen to some of the topics. We talked about the new abortion laws. We talked about voting. We talked about fitness. We talked about being eating vegan. We talked about loving yourself. We talked about domestic violence. I mean, we've talked about a lot of things. We talked heavy about relationships, and we're going to keep talking about relationships, because that's something that I'm an advocate of, like, repairing. Like, there's got to be some kind of way that we can come to some middle ground to understand what's happening. So we're definitely going to come back and talk about that. But this is my time for tonight, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. For those that tune in, those that come back and listen again, hey, share it with a friend, share it with somebody. Anybody you know might have kids that might need a reality check. Let's real talk. Sometimes we all need a reality check. Share, invite other people to listen. And if you have any topics or anything that you would want to discuss with me, hey, check me out on Facebook at Facebook page, Fly Conversation with Shadon. You can definitely send me a message, and I will get right back to you. You can also hit me up at shadonbooking@gmail.com. Shoot me an email, and we can work from there if you would definitely like to be a guest. And listen, y'all, take care of yourselves. Love yourself to life. FLY stands for finally loving yourself, and that means loving you wholly, completely, and fully. So with that being said, I love each and every one of y'all to life. Y'all be good. Take it easy. And until next time, love y'all. Mean it. Y'all have a good one.
Excitement.
Riveting. Love.
Forgiveness.
Shy.
Done.